Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your show host, Randy Fine, and today is Free Advice Friday, the day that I take your calls and answer your questions about narcissistic abuse. Or you can call in and make comments or a comment about what's been going on in your life that you'd like to share. Well, let's get started. We do have a caller. Good morning. How are you?
Fine. How are you? It's Rosemaria.
I'm doing fine. Hi. What's going on? What you want to share?
I guess relationship. Going crazy. Okay. Not finding the right one.
Okay. All right. So did you want to tell me something or ask me something?
Let's go to get straight. And I have one that's interested and does mix-ups and drama and stuff and trying to go direct. So it's like going crazy, but I won't call him back. He won't communicate.
Okay. Okay. All right. Did he break up with you or you broke up with him?
I left the country. I came back to the U.S. more than
you
once.
You left the country. Okay. Was he someone who had NPD?
What's NPD? I don't
Narcissistic
think so.
Personality disorder?
He could at times.
Okay. Because this show is about narcissistic personality disorder abuse. So were you calling to listen or to share?
I had to share and listen to.
Okay. All right. So I guess what I'm saying is this related to narcissistic personality disorder abuse?
Not really, because he has other issues, too, and tries to forget, and he comes back and goes back and forth with me and doesn't want to communicate directly with me. He communicates with other people to me, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't you – I'm going to talk today about gaslighting and ambient abuse. Why don't you listen a little bit and see if something I have to say – sparks something in you and maybe answers some questions, okay?
All right, cool.
Thanks. Hold on. Okay, so I am going to, as I said, talk about gaslighting, which is also called ambient abuse. And the reason I want to talk about that is because this term gets thrown around a lot. We all talk about gaslighting. But gaslighting is multifaceted. There are many ways that we can be gaslighted. So I wanted to go over that so that to help you recognize when this is actually happening to you. And there are five gaslighting techniques that narcissists use. And the first one is the withholding technique. And that's when your abuser acts confused and pretends that he or she does not understand what you are telling him or her. It's when the person withholds their feelings and will say things such as, "Why are you trying to confuse me?" Or, "You're not making any sense." The person might also say, "I'm just not listening to you." Or if you're asking questions and they don't want to answer, "How can I possibly remember that?" I'm too busy one. "You know I have a lot on my mind. Stop bothering me." Or to insinuate that you're a nag. "I already heard this. How many times are you going to say this?" They may say, "You know I don't like to talk about that." Or if you're pushing, you know, for a response or answers, "I don't have any answers for you." They may also say, "I have no idea what you want me to say." And another one might be, "How would I know?" So these are when narcissists are withholding from you. That is a gaslighting technique. And the reason that they use gaslighting is to erode the victim's mental stability by systematically chipping away at the person's self-confidence, by challenging the person's perceptions to the degree that he or she no longer trusts their own memory or judgment. The narcissist eventually can render that person helpless, insecure, unable to independently function. Therefore, the narcissistic supply is secured. And narcissistic supply is the lifeblood of the narcissist. It is more than just needing some compliments. Narcissistic supply is something that narcissists cannot live without, not for 5 minutes. So the minute they wake up until the minute they go to sleep, all they're looking for is to get attention, admiration, and adoration. They'll take whatever they can get, whether it's negative or positive. They'll take reactions. Which is why I always, and I know other people always say, that the best way to deal with a narcissist is to give them nothing, no responses, no emotion. Again, this is a call-in show, and the number is 424-220-1801. If you'd like to call in and ask me any questions about narcissistic abuse issues or share an experience that you're having that is relatable that others might benefit from hearing from. Okay, so the second gaslighting technique that narcissists use is called countering. And that's when the abuser questions the memory and thoughts of the victim and then supports the accusations with previous examples. So, and, you know, as I say these things, I'm sure that if you've been abused by a narcissist, you have experienced many of these, may or may not have realized that this was gaslighting, but that's what this is. Okay, so countering. Have you ever heard your narcissist say to you, "You never remember things correctly," or "Why do you always exaggerate things?" I know this is one I heard a lot. "You have a very active imagination." Narcissists might also say to you, "What are you talking about? Get your facts straight." Or they may question your loyalty and say, "You just have no faith in me." Or, why are you always jumping to conclusions? And the person might also say, you did not hear that. You heard incorrectly. You always hear incorrectly and remember things incorrectly. So that is what's called, there's more. How about, you know I never said that. Or the narcissist might say to you, remember how wrong you were last time you brought this up? Or last time you pushed for me to talk about something? Remember how wrong you were? So this is all to make you back off. The third technique that narcissists use is called blocking or diverting. And this is when the abuser refuses to answer or comment, when your abuser changes the subject or faults victims for accusing or blaming him or her, or faults the victim for reacting the way he or she did. So this is to divert or to block what you're saying. So one of the things a narcissist might say is, I'm not going through this again. Or, we already talked about this. Didn't we already talk about this? This is a pretty common one. You are always looking for trouble. You are always picking fights. Why don't you stop already? The narcissist might say, I don't get where you're going with this. Or, why do you always have to be right? It's always about you. You always have to be right. They may come right out and say something like, just shut up already. Or, where did you get such an idiotic idea? That's just nonsense. Narcissists like to accuse us of being whiny and naggy. And generally, we're whiny and naggy because we're not getting answers to our questions. So we keep asking. So a narcissist might say to you, you are always complaining about something. When are you going to stop complaining? And then another one would be, why can't you just leave well enough alone? So these are ways that a narcissist can shut you down. Okay, so a fourth technique of gaslighting is called trivializing. And that's when your abuser makes your thoughts and needs seem unimportant. So you bring up something. The narcissist might say to you, can't you see I'm busy? That is hardly important right now. Or if you just cannot let go of something because you can't get the answers that you want, the narcissist might say, why are you letting something so stupid come between us? The narcissist might say, you're just too sensitive. Now, that is one we all have heard. You are just too sensitive. And yes, we're sensitive because we're provoked constantly. So we're always reacting. We're always hurt. We're always sensitive. So you make a point or you ask a question and the narcissist will say, that has nothing to do with us. Why don't you get your priorities straight? Why do you let everything bother you? Narcissist might say, stop analyzing everything. In order to get you to go away, they will trivialize it and say, why are you wasting my time with this? Or, you always blow things out of proportion. They may say, let it go already. Why do you always have to, just really interesting to me, because they bring up our past all the time. They never forget one thing we ever do. So it's interesting when they say, why are you always living in the past or bringing up the past? Can't you let it go already? So then another technique is called forgetting or denial. And that's when the narcissist denies that things ever happened or denies promising that he or she made, denies promises that he or she made to you to prevent you from getting a resolution. So you're trying to pin them down. You want a resolution. I want to go out on Saturday night. Our friends asked us out, and I need to know, can we go? So these are the kind of things that you might hear. I never did, or I never said that. So in other words, if, say, your narcissist said, sure, we can go out, and then the night comes and you're like, okay, well, we're going out, and the narcissist will say, I never said that, or I never did that. In cases where you've experienced something together and narcissists want to make you think that you're crazy, they may say, that never happened. Or, I have never been there before. Sometimes you might say, you know, did you see my phone? Did you see my diary? Did you see this? Did you see that? Nope. I never saw it. I never moved it. I never took that. Or you bring up something and your abuser says to you, you're confusing me with someone else. That wasn't me. Or you're just making that up. One that we often hear is, and this is great because this is such projection. Narcissists will often say to us, you're delusional, which is clear projection because they are the ones that are truly delusional, but they tend to project those things onto us. You may say, well, I told you we were going out. I told you we had plans. You've known about this for a month. We had tickets to this event for 3 months. And the narcissist will say, you never told me that. To insinuate that there's something wrong with your thinking, narcissists will say, there is nothing wrong with my thinking, or there's nothing wrong with my memory, or whatever it is, to insinuate that there's something wrong with yours. So then, let's see, another one would be, okay, so this is all meant to throw off your equilibrium. And when they throw off your equilibrium, you lose your balance. You don't know where, it's very difficult for you to function because you don't know which end is up. You don't know, you begin to doubt yourself. You begin to think that you are the crazy one. And if this, every time you talk to them, you get these kind of comments, it's hard not to think that you might be the crazy one. You know somewhere deep inside that you're not. But then why would this person continually say these things to you? And this is, the word gaslighting came from this 1944 Hollywood classic film called Gaslight, which starred Ingrid Bergman. And in this story, it's about a woman who is slowly manipulated by her husband, believes she is losing her mind. So this is a guileful and devious tactic, so effective that intelligence operations use it to interrogate prisoners of war. So this is psychological warfare. And all narcissists, whether they are parents, partners, siblings, friends, coworkers, they all use this method of psychological control. So it's to get you to not trust your own memory. And they're very effective in making that happen. Let me say again, this is a call-in show. If you have anything you would like to share, you can call in to 424-220-1801 and share your experience with everybody or ask a question of me. I'll be happy to answer anything. Don't be shy because it helps everybody. So by creating confusion and anxiety, narcissists throw off your equilibrium, I said that, and you may experience one of the following things, or all of them. You may wonder if you're the crazy one. You feel depressed, anxious, and hopeless. Well, why wouldn't you if you cannot get anywhere with what you're saying or asking or alleging, or if everything that you say to this person is switched? Of course you feel depressed, anxious, and hopeless. Again, you don't trust your perceptions, beliefs, or judgments. You find it hard to make decisions. This is something that narcissist abuse victims often do. You're always apologizing for things you didn't do, because it's much easier to apologize and just let it go than try to push the issue, because when you push the issue, you get nowhere. You may be feeling unhappy and not be able to figure out why. So if you think about this, if you think about these techniques that are being used on you, that would help to explain to you why you're feeling so unhappy. You are completely invalidated, unsupported, unheard, and pretty much unloved, and you're unhappy. But you may look at the scenario and say, well, you know, I have this, that, and the other, and this person isn't all bad. But I've talked about that before, and they pretty much are all bad, except for the times they use intermittent good-bad reinforcement, which is throwing some crumbs at you in order to get you to hold on to those moments of them being generous and giving. Another thing we hold on to is narcissists tend to be very charitable people, not necessarily to their immediate family or their spouse or partner or whatever, but they tend to be very charitable out in public. And so if you're in a relationship with somebody like that and you're looking at it, you're thinking, well, how can I think this person is such a bad person? Because, you know, this person is always giving or supporting charities or spokesperson or active in church or synagogue or whatever it is. But I'm telling you, this is a trait of narcissists, and the reason they're charitable is because they get tons of supply, but they're not doing it for the right reasons. So if you really look into it, you'll notice that that charitable quality is not a genuine one. So let's see, another thing that you may experience. You lie to protect you because you don't know who you are anymore. Obviously, you're going to have memory issues. Maybe not, but you certainly will feel as if you do, because you're told you're not remembering things correctly. You're feeling like you're crazy. You have definitely lost your personal power. That's the first thing narcissists steal from you, is your personal power. And getting over narcissistic abuse is really about taking that power back. And, you know, we hear a lot about forgiveness, but forgiveness is not about letting it go. Forgiveness is about taking your power back, saying, you know what, you don't matter anymore. You have no hold over me. You have no power over me. I'm taking my personal power back. But while you're in the midst of this, you lose your personal power. the longer you're with someone like this, the more you find yourself giving in instead of fighting for what you believe in. Because every time you fight for what you believe in, you are knocked down. And you can't win a battle with a narcissist. It's impossible. At least a verbal battle. The best way to deal with them, again, is silence and, ignoring them. Because the more you push the issue, the deeper you're going to dig yourself a hole. So another thing that happens is you get confused, disoriented, or paranoid. Well, that speaks for itself, because that's exactly what is being done to you. It's being done to confuse, disorient you, and make you feel as if you're paranoid, as if you have no justification for the things that you're saying or seeing. You definitely think you are too sensitive or too overreactive. And we talked about that a little bit earlier, being sensitive or overreactive. Well, of course you are. The only reason you're reactive is because you're being goaded into being reactive. You don't know what normal is anymore. There is no normal. The person that you were, what you thought was normal, what you thought you had in this relationship to begin with, does not exist. And there's nothing to hold on to. You're like a sinking ship on a sinking ship. You don't know what to hold on to. You are the first to take the blame. This is a tactic that you do in order to guarantee some kind of emotional safety for yourself. It's easier for you to take the blame and to shut up the narcissist than it is for you to make them take the blame, because they're not going to, and all they're going to do is destroy you in the process. You never feel worthy or good enough. You always feel guilty about something. Narcissists love to use guilt, especially narcissistic parents. They raise children on guilt. And that becomes a life sentence for this child when they get to be an adult. It's a life sentence. Because guilt hangs us up. But it's false guilt. I mean, the reason for guilt is to make us accountable for things that we do wrong. But in this situation, when you're with a narcissist, you haven't done anything wrong, but you're made to believe that you have. You are definitely exhausted and drained. There's no way to continue a relationship with somebody who is emotionally and mentally and psychologically destroying you without feeling exhausted and drained. We often make excuses for our abuser's behavior. We make excuses to other people because we're really embarrassed that we're putting up with this. We don't know why we're putting up with it. We don't know why we're stuck. We don't understand that we've been victims and that we have no responsibility in getting into this situation or being stuck in this situation. But yet, we're embarrassed. So we don't want anyone to know what we're truly going through. So we make excuses. You are fearful of your abuser. Well, this is absolutely true. And what happens? Narcissists, this is likened often to the Wizard of Oz. And this is kind of how we feel about who the narcissist is. Narcissists represent themselves as this big, looming, overbearing, threatening presence. And they generally are not. It's generally only words. So we're afraid because we think this person has tremendous power over us. When in fact, the only thing that the narcissist has power over us is with our thinking. And so when we learn to understand how they're targeting our thinking, how they're changing us, how they're brainwashing us, how they're trying to make us feel delusional, then that person loses the power. So it's like the Wizard of Oz. So Dorothy and the Cowardly Lion and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow, they go before the great Oz. And there's Oz up on the screen. Oz is huge, loud, frightening, bellowing. They're cowering in front of the great Oz. The Oz is meant to intimidate those who tried to come before it. And everyone runs away scared. But who is the great Oz? A little man behind a curtain pushing levers. That is the narcissist. That's who your narcissist is. The little person behind the curtain pushing your levers, pushing your buttons to get you to react. And what ultimately happens is you shut down your feelings and emotions. Gaslighting can happen in any type of relationship, even to even the most discerning, insightful people. So it doesn't matter if you're intelligent. You know, intelligent people think that they're immune to this type of brainwashing, but they're not no match because narcissists are calculating and brilliant in their ability to manipulate, so always beware. You know, I get one of the things that I hear quite often is when people come out of these relationships, one of the things that scares them the most is they think they may be narcissistic. And nearly everyone says this to me. Well, how can I judge that person? I'm narcissistic myself. And I always say, well, has there ever been a time where you were unable to look inward? And they will always say, no. You know, I'm really self-critical. I really, you know, tend to take blame and always look at myself as responsible. And I say, well, then you cannot possibly have this disorder, because this disorder, the nature of it is that you cannot look inward. So a lot of the symptoms that you think are narcissistic personality disorder have been instilled in you. They are reactions to what's being done to you. If you're being angry and raging, it's because you're trying to protect yourself from somebody you cannot or do not know how to protect yourself from. So you are angry. You have like a hair trigger sense of anger. Anything can set you off. This is a defense mechanism. This is not the same reason that narcissists rage. You're raging out of defense. If you think that you're being selfish, I doubt that you are. And especially, I doubt that you're being selfish in other areas of your life. You may be. But you need to be selfish. This is a... This is hard to understand sometimes, how you should be self-loving but not selfish. It is okay, not just okay, it is your birthright to take care of yourself, to love yourself, to protect yourself at all costs. Who's going to do it if you don't? Otherwise, you walk through life as a sitting duck, vulnerable to everything that comes down the pike. This is a wonderful world. It's also a dangerous world. If you don't protect you, love yourself, and put yourself first, who else is going to do that? Certainly not a narcissistic abuser. You may have difficulty with relationships. Well, generally, if you've been involved with a narcissist, then either you have lost your sense of boundaries, lost your self-esteem. But everything that you're feeling has been taken away from you. So feeling as if you cannot make a relationship, or if you're argumentative, or if you cannot let something go. How can you let something go when you don't get answers for it? All it does, it's human nature. If you want to know something and somebody's saying, I'm not telling you, then you only want to know it more. So everything that narcissists do is doing to egg you on and provoke you and get you reactive. So you're not narcissistic. You do not have this. You are victimized by a narcissist, and the symptoms can look very similar. The traits can look very similar. The difference being that you have empathy and this person does not. And you may even question whether or not you have empathy because you may be shut down. If you are being severely abused, and this is severe abuse, it's emotional, but it is severe. One of the worst kinds of abuses you could ever experience. There's only so many ways that you can cope with this. So one is to please, one is to give in, but one is to withdraw, shut down, not feel. And it doesn't mean that you're not a feeling person. It means that you are so wounded that you can't even allow yourself to feel anymore. But ask yourself this. Can I go inside? Can I look inside and see if maybe I'm the problem? Can I take responsibility for the things that happen in my life or the things that happen to me or in a relationship? And if you can, you certainly are not narcissistic. And there's a distinction, as I've talked about before, between being narcissistic and having the personality disorder. So we all want to have a healthy level of narcissism in us. That is important. We come into this world as babies. We are completely narcissistic. Everything is about us for a long time. But that serves a purpose at that time. As we get older and we understand that we are not the center of the universe, we begin to lose some of that. But we don't want to lose all of it. Because we are special. We should think of ourselves as special and unique and wonderful, but not in a way that hurts anyone. That's the difference between having some narcissistic qualities and having the personality disorder. Is what we do doesn't take away from anyone else. So it's okay to love yourself. It's okay to think of yourself as important and first because you are. But if you're doing it and the only person that's experiencing it is you and you're not taking away from anyone else, then you have nothing to worry about. And that's the distinction. So that's pretty much what I have to say today. Let me see what kind of business I have to talk about. So I don't know if you all have been on Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United on Facebook, but it's a great page, and I usually post about 3 things a day on there that are pretty relatable to everyone. And I also have the page Empath Society. If you've been abused in childhood by a narcissist, you are likely an empath. You may or may not understand what that is. But what it means is that you have extreme energy, energetic sensitivity. And the reason that you have that is because when you live in an unpredictable environment as a child, your awareness of the energy around you becomes heightened. You can feel when something is about to explode. You just know it. So that's something that you take with you, and you become energetically sensitive. It's why so many of us are introverts. It's why so many of us feel most comfortable alone and at home, because the energies around us can throw us off and make us feel horrible, and we don't know the distinction between others' energies and ourselves until we learn about it. So if that describes you in some way, go to the Empath Society page and check that one out too. Again, I post like three posts there a day to help you understand what your empathic sensitivity is, and some humor, some serious, some techniques, you know, but all really to help you deal with it, because it can be quite a burden. I know that because I am one. And walking through life as a very sensitive person, an energetically sensitive person, is not easy. And sometimes we think we're odd for feeling the way we do, but that will explain it. And there's actually an article on randygfine.com that's about, I think it's called, What is an Empath and Are You One? And if you read that, it will help you to understand even more. So the second Friday of next month, let me get my calendar. Right now we're in March, so this would be April 12th, 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. I will be doing my next NPD show, NPD Abuse show. In between, generally on Tuesdays and Fridays, I have guests come on, and they're all very, very interesting. So you can either find it on Blog Talk Radio, Randy Fine, or you can go to randygfine.com to my show pages, and everything is listed with links and descriptions. But I try to bring on really interesting people that I think you will like. I definitely target or choose my guests based on my listeners or my listening audience. So check some of those things out. I'm sure you will find some benefit in those. So, well, that's the end of the show. It's been nice talking to you today. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.